Thank you, Aaron. And I want to, we've had some changes here in kind of who's doing what and everything, and an adjustment and sensitivity to everything that's kind of going on. And I just wanted to give credit where credit is due. We have an amazing team that pulling everything together to make church happen. And so whether you're here this morning or you're at home enjoying that we're able to stream services and what's happening with that, I have to, again, give credit where credit is due and say thank you, team, amazing team, making some last-minute adjustments and pulling everything together. It never goes off completely perfectly, but it is a sacrifice of praise and worship to our God, and we have a phenomenal team, and I can't imagine doing church without the incredible servants here in this place. So well done, everybody. Amazing. Thank you. Good. All right. Well, I'm excited this morning. A lot in my heart, and so I'm going to try to keep it under 4 hours and everything. But ton going on in my heart. But so Jesus help me. And we're in the middle of everything that's going on. Kind of the elephant in the room. We continue to have some chaos and some adjustments and everything. This was online. You may have seen this image. I think Andrea Thomas even posted this. Can we all agree that in 2015, not a single person got the answer correct to where do you see yourself 5 years from now? All right. Nobody, you know, saw this coming except God, of course. Lots of changes. WSU continues to update what they're saying. And since I spoke last time talking about our struggles in campus ministry and trying to plan, now no in-person classes, residence halls are essentially closed. If you have some major issue and need to live in one, then that's a possibility. U of I, of course, will continue with normal classes because that's how things go in Idaho, but limited residence hall availability there and everything. And so this is affecting things huge, and we're trying to continue to plan. It significantly affected us in painting as well. Post painting, a main portion of what we do is connected with student housing. And those repaints for us down about 75% this summer as people are kind of going, we're going to wait to see what happens. And we're not sure if students are going to be here living in these or not and all of that stuff happening. So it's just been kind of huge. And the challenge that's been in front of me in so many ways, including painting, is going, I'm not sure how to plan for the future, but I'm not necessarily even sure how to plan for the week or the day that's ahead. It's just been a lot of things really in flux because it's affected a lot of things. And I was reminded of Jeff Kure. His family's been part of this congregation for years and years. Amazing man. And he took our JCDs, our Student Discipleship Company, our program, through some sort of basic kind of survival skills. And, you know, most of us think we don't need that stuff. You know, are you kidding me? We have cars that are pretty reliable. Unless you're a college student, then still they're unreliable. But pretty reliable cars. And we've got cell phones. And there just aren't really emergencies like that anymore. Well, there are. And there really are. And you don't see them coming. Don't expect them. But it's a really great idea to plan. And he told us this, that growing up, all his kids were told they needed to have a go bag, okay? This one's probably big, but this is my backpack thing that I take a lot of places where we're doing some stuff. And they had a go bag. And so he would sometimes tell the family, like maybe on a Friday afternoon, all right, you've got 5 minutes to leave the house. Or you go grab your go bag, whatever, and we're gone. And he wouldn't tell them where they were going or what they're going to be doing. But basically the idea was we're going to be gone and you need to have some survival stuff wherever it is that I'm taking you and everything so that you can take care of your basic needs and everything. And just an opportunity to kind of prepare his family for kind of just some madness, okay? And so had to go back. And so this morning, this is kind of a little illustration for that. And I've just kind of felt like in general in life that right now I need to have a go bag ready for anything because I don't know what's coming. And it's not just right now. Right now it's very real to a lot of us, but this is just kind of the way that life works often. And we're kind of going, gosh, I just wasn't really prepared for that. And there's a lot that we can't really be prepared for completely, but there's some preparation that we can do. And so that's what's really on my heart this morning. We're trying to prepare for uncertain times. I'm pretty certain that there's uncertainty ahead. All right. That's, you know, kind of the way that I think, you know, that I'm certain of uncertainty. And it kind of feels like in a lot of ways we're shooting at a moving target. I'm not even sure really what I'm supposed to shoot at, how it's all. It's, you may have seen Russell Wilson, God's favorite quarterback on the planet, was in the NFL skills challenge this last year and won it. And here's a little segment, a little video of what he did, in that skills challenge. Watch Russell Wilson here.
Right now, so 8 points for Russell Wilson as now he's
moving around
to hit that cable line target that's worth. And he does. So all the big point totals are now in the bag for Russell Wilson, and he can get to work on some of the shorter stuff as he looks for the track target worth 3 points, comes back to a two-pointer that was just off the mark. Final 10 seconds.
That count.
He's self-officiating. Ooh, a little high in that three-pointer. Last ball here. That's a very good run. Strong effort.
So here's Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson
throwing at these moving targets. And he did better than anybody. He won this skills challenge. And I feel like life is kind of that way sometimes. I'm throwing at these moving targets. Now, the difference between, though, myself and Russell Wilson is profound. I have like one ball, I throw it, and if I miss, I have to run and chase it down and get it. The good news is I can't throw it very far, so I don't have far to go to retrieve it, you know, everything. But I'm like, I can't even get it to the moving target, let alone hit the moving target. And it's kind of a frustrating but fun thing for the pros, I guess. But for those of us that are mere mortals and everything, this is kind of a struggle. That's how life sort of feels to me right now. And so the title of my message this morning is Prepare to Be Amazed. I'm going, prepare for, but I just feel in the spirit of God and what it is that he's doing right now, he's telling us, prepare to be amazed. We're going, I'm not even sure what to prepare for. Okay, then just prepare for God to do amazing things. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And this is nothing new. There has been a lot of uncertainty throughout the course of human history. Okay, we are not alone, and we can identify with some great people who have been through this sort of stuff. We've talked about Joseph here a few weeks ago, and Abraham was in that boat too. Look a little bit at Abraham this morning. This is Genesis 12, 1 through 3 in the New Living, and here's what it says. The Lord has said to Abram, and this is the very beginning. This is our introduction to him and his life. This is where his story starts. He said to him, leave your native country, so leave home, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. So he says, I want you to go to this place I'm going to show you. Okay, God, if I could get some coordinates to put in my GPS, all right, that'd be kind of nice, you know, and we could just navigate there. But he says, go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So at the time, Abraham is 75 years old when this goes down, all right? The average age for a man starting a family back then was about 40. Things were a little bit different back then, a few thousand years ago. Okay, and he is 2.5 times that age at 75, all right? The name Abram literally means exalted father. So he's been living well past the age of when a family is supposed to start for a man with this name, Exalted Father. Names were a big deal to people back then. All right. In Hebrew, the name Abram means Exalted Father. And he's been living with sort of that moniker over his life the whole time. Everybody, when they hear his name, Exalted Father, oh, and maybe when he introduced himself to somebody, shake hands, and they Exalted Father, oh, wow, how many kids do you have? Well, none, you know, right now, you know. But expecting that to change pretty soon. Okay, well, you're like 75, you know. You're going to start that soon, right? And he's probably going, yeah, well, that's kind of the plan. But it's not entirely my control. 75, but here we go. And so Exalted Father has probably become this kind of painful thing. In fact, he's probably more and more at this point thinking, I'm feeling like humiliated aging guy. All right. I don't know what the word in the Hebrew is for humiliated aging guy. All right. But that's more how he feels at this point in life. At 99, okay, another 24 years later, God changes his name to Abraham. And Abraham in the Hebrew means father of many nations. Still, no promised son and all this stuff. And you kind of wonder if this is getting more and more difficult. But God says, I'm changing your name to Abraham. All right. And now he's even older. Things are getting tougher. All right. He's well past the age of having a family. So is his wife. And it's now becoming more preposterous that this thing is ever going to happen. It's more difficult for him to believe. And even his wife, Sarah, laughs at the idea, even though God says it's going to happen. Kind of becomes a little bit of a big issue. And this is a little bit of a side note along the way. But if you're going to pursue the promises of God for you in your life, you're going to have times where even the people closest to you laugh at your faith. In fact, if you don't have people close to you laughing at your faith, you may not be stepping out in the faith that God wants you to. Perhaps it's a litmus test for whether we're really living in faith or not. Are the people closest to you going, okay, you're crazy now. Now you're losing it a little bit. Are you really going to hang on to that? All right, you understand that the time has come and gone for all of that to happen, and we're kind of getting, we're beyond faith into ridiculous now. If the people closest to you are laughing, it may mean that you've got a word from God. I've seen that happen a lot in my life. So how do we prepare for this sort of stuff? How do we prepare to be amazed? We're going to cover 4 points here this morning as we look at this. And we took a trip yesterday with the Gleasons on the Salmon River. And we got a pic here. And you guys are going, hey, wait a minute. Didn't Aaron Schluter just do that too? Yeah, it's a different river, and they did a long trip. We did this half-day trip on the river. The Gleasons took us along with a couple co-workers of Jen's. And so there we all are as we wrap everything up, and it was an absolutely amazing day. And that's going to be kind of this thread that kind of flows, pun intended, through the message this morning and kind of ties things together, all right? How do we prepare to be amazed? All right, number one, we have got to lay aside demandingness in our lives. If we're honest, okay, about where we're at, a lot of us will recognize that we're kind of stuck in a rut as we're going through life. And that we don't even mind that so much. We're like, hey, this is the way that I've always done it. This is the way it's always been. And I don't mind if it stays the same. In fact, I become quite comfortable with that which is familiar. And it doesn't bother me too much if it doesn't ever change. I kind of like it. A lot of us really, I prefer it to be kind of the same. It's kind of nice to not have to wonder what's coming around the corner. And all this uncertainty right now, not my favorite thing, all right? Can we just kind of keep things the way that they were? You hear a lot of people say, I can't wait till things get back to normal, all right? And some people are going, yeah, that's never going to happen, all right? We're going to have a new normal, whatever that looks like. We like the familiar, all right? And we've got to lay aside our comfortability with the familiar if we're going to be amazed at what it is that God is doing. In the context of this trip, okay, this stretch along the Salmon River is by Riggins, Idaho, and I went to high school in McCall, Idaho. My family was there. I came up to U of I, and I've been here since. My family's McCall, Boise, largely all that, and so I have been by that stretch of the river probably about 200 times over the course of the last 30 years, all right, and I've never been in it. This is the first time I've gotten in a raft and actually gotten in it, all right. It's a completely different thing to be in the river making that trip than to be driving by it, all right? Radically different experience. And things are going to change if we're going to be amazed at what it is that God is going to do. They're not likely to look like we'd prefer them to. The truth is that it was a lot of work to kind of get some things together, drive all the way down there, get in the river and float 10 miles to cover this distance that in a car takes less than 10 minutes at the speed limit, and then pull it all out, drive 2.5 hours back home and put things away. A lot more work involved to cover that 10 miles than to just drive by it at 65. All right. We like the familiarity. We like this preference that we have in covering some ground, getting from A to B, and that rather that it's not interrupted, we've got to lay aside the familiar if we're going to be amazed at what it is that our God wants to do. The truth is that the disappointment that we're going to have in the change, we've got to get over that. We've got to be able to go, hey, look, things are changing, and instead of kind of digging my heels in and going, I don't want it to change. I don't want it to look different. There's some things that God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, that will never happen if we dig in our heels and say, no, I don't want it to change. No, I don't want it. You know, it would start whining, get weird about it. God, what's the deal? Dad, I don't want to grab my go bag and do this thing. All right. Can we just stay home and watch Netflix? Let's just be quarantined. I just don't want, I don't want the change. I don't want the adjustment. What is it that you're doing? God, Dad, whatever. We've got to let go of that stuff if we're going to be amazed at what it is that God is doing. And some of us are radically stuck there digging in our heels, and the rest of this doesn't matter if we won't let go. We've got to do that. Second, we've got to recognize who we're becoming. Either by neglect or accident, or on purpose, we are all becoming something. We've got to recognize what that is if we're going to be amazed at what it is that God is doing. Check this out. Here's a pic of Suzanne. She's just floating on a boogie board with a life jacket on, just floating through this rapid here, just immersed in the river there, all right? You see the thumbs up there she's got going, boom, right? All right? She's having a blast. Here's a pic of our family. I think at the end, you see how happy everybody is and everything. It's amazing. We have a bunch of pics. Everybody just having a blast, and the kayaks and the rafts and the cat, all this stuff. It's incredible. Suzanne has never given me a thumbs up driving along that stretch of the river before. We've never been driving along there. She's like, yes, woo, let's do it again. All right, we're just blowing by at 65, all right. Never gotten the response from her. We had to get off the road and get in the river, all right, in order for that. And I recognize that as we're watching all these other rafts go by over the years, and talking to the Gleasons about the great trips that they go on, and hearing about it from Slater's and everything, recognizing that we're just really pedestrians driving along the river, unwilling to really make the change and interrupt our lives and everything to actually get in the river. We're becoming pedestrians and spectators. We pull over once in a while and kind of watch people go through the raft, and you're kind of hoping they're going to dump everything all over the place. And yes, you go, oh, I probably shouldn't have wished that on them, you know. It's like watching, you know, the NASCAR and hoping for a wreck. You know, you don't want to do that, but you kind of do. But anyway, and we're just watching. We're just pedestrians. The truth is, in life, is a lot of us are becoming pedestrians in these moments. We're just watching. We're becoming complacent. We're becoming upset at God, upset at the circumstances, upset at the situations. And we're never going to allow God to do what he wants to do in our hearts if that's the place that we are, and we're kind of digging our heels in, all of us becoming something. I mentioned I was reading this book, If, by Mark Batterson, that JCDs are going through, and it's been amazing, some pretty cool stuff. And Mark Batterson, the author, and who's the pastor of one of the biggest churches in America, when he was preparing for ordination, and he was being interviewed by some theological professors to sort of pass the academic side of all that, one of his professors asked him this very simple question. He said, describe yourself in one word. And as I was reading the book, I kind of paused for a minute and thought about that. And what one word would I use to describe myself? And my first thought is, that's not fair, because like one word is so like narrow. You know, it's so confined, it's so constraining. But if you have to boil it down to one word, think about it for just a second here. What might it be? Describe yourself. You're like, fun? No. You know, energetic? No. Observant? Well, not all the time. That's for sure. Happy? No. Helper? No. You know, I mean, you start going through it. And it's a real challenging process to go through. If we do that and kind of identify, if I had to describe myself in one word, if other people were going through that too, if they're doing that and everything, I wouldn't recommend it necessarily as a social media experiment. You might not get answers that you'd like. But if, as you go through that and you come down to one word, what might it be? And if you do that, do you like it? Do you like the one word answer? If you're honest about yourself, I'm honest about myself, that I come up with. That's who we are. That's who we really have become, maybe are becoming more and more. Are we willing to stop, evaluate, and pause and go, okay, I need to kind of redirect some things. I'm a pedestrian. I'm a spectator. I'm a complainer. Maybe I'm a whiner. I'm a whatever. And this is, I don't like who I've become. I don't like who I'm becoming. Maybe in some ways in life, there's some great things in some areas. So God's done some wonderful things that I'm really embracing in some areas. But in the big picture, I know that there's some things that need to change. Do we like who we are? Do we like who we are becoming something? Recognize who we're becoming. One of the things I love about Suzanne, and the reason I wanted that pickup there, is she's very adventurous and very fun. She's like, let's go for it. Let's do this. And she'll just go for it and try a lot of different things, crazy things and everything. And I love that. Love that about her. Thank you, honey, for being that. She's fun. She really is a fun mom and does stuff. It's awesome. Who are we and who are we becoming? All of us, whether by accident, on purpose, or by neglect, are becoming something. If we're going to be amazed at what God has, we might need to make some adjustments to that. Third, we need to identify what we have to give. Identify what we have to give. Now, in the story of this raft trip and everything, the Gleasons have thousands of dollars of equipment, thousands of hours on the river combined on different rivers and everything. And they have a lot to give when it comes to rafting. We're so blessed to be able to go with them. I remember at one point they asked us, okay, do you have any questions as we were preparing for the trip? And we said, no. We know who we're going with, and we trust that completely. I mean, any question really that I could think of asking would be sort of an insult to your expertise in this whole field and everything. How many PSI do you pump a raft up to, you know? And at which I did ask Jamie. He's like, two. I'm like, okay, just checking, you know. And it's incredible, incredible. You know, what side of the rapid? Oh, well, you go over here, start over here on this side, and then you come over here, and then you push away from the hole, and you got to make sure that you're set up with your bow this way so you can move away from the wall and all that stuff. And everything. It's just dizzying. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's just amazing. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. All right. They have so much to give when it comes to rafting, and they do. And one of the beautiful things about this is that that stretch of the river there is very, very pedestrian to them. Okay. I mentioned driving by it is pedestrian to me. I've done it hundreds of times. Rafting it is very pedestrian to them. It's one of the simplest stretch of rivers for them. Okay. Not very technical, not very difficult. Very unlikely for them to flip. I'm doing something like that. But they know that they have that experience to share with other people, and they have fun helping other people have fun along the way. They recognize it is something that they have to give. All of us have things, tangible and intangible, to give to other people. And the question is, what are we doing with it? Are we just going, well, that's a little bit boring to me? Well, maybe it's not to somebody else. And maybe one of the greatest joys we can have and we can find is giving what it is that we have that we might think this is not really a big deal to somebody else and watching them grow, watching them have a ton of fun with it, watching them have a blast with it. It's amazing to see that happen. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what they did. It's incredible. We're so blessed to be on the receiving end of that. We've got some tangible things that we can give, but there's all these intangibles too. It may not be a physical thing. The scripture talks about this, and it's incredible. 1 Corinthians 14:26, love this. Says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn. Each of you has a word of instruction. Each of you has a revelation. Each of you has a tongue. Each of you has an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. We come with something to give, and it may not be hundreds of dollars, it might be. It may not be thousands of dollars, it might be. But there are things, there are gifts that God has put inside of us that we have to bring to encourage and lift each other up. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Here we have these relational things that we can give each other along the way that God has blessed us with. And it just remains for us to make the decision to say, I'm going to give. I'm going to give. I have something that I can pour out into the lives of other people. Then last, if we're going to prepare to be amazed, what do we do? How do we prepare? And it's this, is to keep the main thing, the main thing. Keep the main thing, the main thing. We've heard that a lot of times, but we need to be reminded of that sometimes. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Two parts here. The first is remember who our source is. Remember who our source is. Challenging times like this, it's easy to pull back. It's easy to just take the road instead of take the effort to jump in the river. But it's always worth it. It's always worth it to respond to the Spirit of God and say, let's go on the adventurous God side of all this instead of the easy way out, the smooth way, and just kind of keep things simple. I'm just going to do this the way that naturally just makes the most sense. Instead of saying, Spirit of the living God, what is it that you want to do? In Acts 17:28, Scripture tells us, and He gives us the power to live, to move, and to be who we are. We are His children, just as some of your poets have said. Paul is talking in the Areopagus, and he's speaking to this group of people and reminding them it's all from Him to live, to move, to have our being. It all comes from Him. He is our source. He is our source. And instead of pulling back to the road, it's time for a lot of us to jump in the river. The road is man's work and man's way. The river is God's work and God's way. The road is man's route and the river is God's route. Man carved it into the side of all this, but God, over the last couple thousand years anyway, poured through with river, this river, and made this way through the canyon. It's incredible. It's beautiful. The road is more convenient, but the river is more beautiful. We like the certainty and ease of the road, but the adventure of the river is amazing. And we'll never look at that river the same. Driven by it, again, hundreds of times, but we'll never look at it the same. There's that one rapid. There, oh, you can't see from here, but there's the time zone rapid. It's amazing. And when it's really rolling right, it's incredible. Oh, that's where Lizzie dumped off in the kayak when she got back in. It's incredible. And that's where the cat, and that's where, and on and on and on. It's just an experience changes everything. An experience changes everything. There is no experience in the drive-by on the road except to go, this is kind of pretty. But being in it changes everything. We want a drive-through experience so many times in life, but God wants a breakthrough experience. We want the simple A to B drive-through experience, but that will never bring the breakthrough that God wants to bring in our lives. We're just going, can this just be over? Can it just be done? And God said, I'll bring breakthrough if you'll embrace what it is that I have for you in this time. The road represents man's disengaged approach to the journey of life. The river in Scripture speaks of the move of the Spirit and the flow of the hand of God. That's where we really want to be. So that's A. Remember who our source is and where we're supposed to be. And then second, remember the lost. The Great Commission remains our Great Commission. There's your other duh for this morning. The Great Commission remains our Great Commission. God didn't call a timeout on the lost, the timeout on people dying and being lost forever. God didn't call a timeout on the moratorium and eternity. The lost are still the lost. People are still going to spend forever in heaven or hell. And we have to ask ourselves, are we in danger of the Great Commission becoming the Great Omission during this time? The Great Commission remains the Great Commission. It might be more challenging, but it's where we're supposed to be. When we're immersed in the purposes of God, life is refreshing and beautiful. You know, it's about 100 degrees down in Riggins yesterday, but down on the river, where the breeze blew air that was cooled by the water, it was literally perfect. It really was. It was perfect. We're refreshed by the splashes of occasional rapids as we're going by, and everything was perfect. And then there was the occasional kayak flip and 55-foot cliff jump. Let me show you a couple pics in this video real quick, Joel, and you guys got to see this. So there's that's Casey coming off of that 55-foot cliff up there with Kyle waiting to go. And then here comes Kyle. See, that's about 55 feet. There were other rafters going by, and they kind of stopped. There's a little eddy there, and they go, dude, are you going to jump off that? And Casey goes, yeah. And they're like, no way, you're crazy. You're crazy. Here's a video that they took last year of them doing the same thing. Watch this. Give you a little bit of perspective.
Better have a good entry.
Listen to Casey. It was one of the things I love about that. So Casey guides trips on that stretch of the river now. He was so excited yesterday because he doesn't get to do it generally, to pull over, eddy out there, and climb up there and jump. Because that river that was so exciting and amazing to us yesterday has become kind of pedestrian to him and his family. But when he gets up at the top of that 55-foot cliff, all of a sudden fear and awe are introduced again. And wherever it is that we are in our walk of faith, let it not become pedestrian. God wants us to walk in a holy fear and awe again. That's not for everybody, but it's so amazing to watch them do that. So Jamie and I have both done some cliff jumping, and so we had the choice yesterday. Do we climb up there and everything? And so, of course, what we did was, no, we just told the boys to do it and watched them do it. And it was awesome to do that. Yeah, we just get to the place where you tell people what to do instead of show them how to do it, right? It was incredible, absolutely amazing to watch. It's a time of uncertainty. And if we're going to move away from uncertainty into what God has for us, the maze and awe and wonder, we've got to move. We've got to keep adjusting. And God will guide. And just as surely as we could trust the Gleasons implicitly yesterday, we can trust God to guide us. He says, any questions? And we could just say, I know who is at the helm here. I know who's got the oars. Sure, a million of them. But it's sort of an insult to the intelligence of the great I am to say, yeah, how many PSI? Just say, God, I'm going to a land that you will show me. He's good. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I love it. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yesterday, a search and rescue team found Gia Fuda lost up on Stevens Pass for 8 days. Just yesterday, here in the state of Washington. Yesterday afternoon, they found Gia. She'd been lost there for 8 days. People are calling it a miracle. She only had water with her. I know she actually didn't have water with her. She just had a stream to drink from. She drank from the stream and survived 8 days. They had thought it had gone from a rescue mission to a recovery mission, just recovering a body, but they found her alive. She easily could have been a casualty, but instead, she's a miracle. And a lot of people are saying that this is a miracle. God did something. This is a miracle. And we've got to ask ourselves in the middle of all this, are we really prepared for what it is that God wants to do? Are we prepared to be amazed? Are we going to become a casualty of the circumstances around us or a testimony to the greatness of our God? We've got to grab our go bag and embrace the opportunity that's in front of us. When go time comes, you don't, the only decision that's left, because you've already decided what's going to be in here, all that stuff's happening, you've only got what you've got with you. The only decision that's left is the attitude that you're going to take as you go. All of us have that choice in front of us in the middle of what it is that whatever it is that we're facing. And what you're facing might be way bigger than any national crisis that we're talking about right now. Your personal crisis may be way bigger in your life than a national challenge. And the choice that we've got to make is the attitude we're going to take as you grab our go bag and say, all right, God, all right, Dad, here we go. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know I can trust you. You're at the helm. You've got the oars, and you are good. Let's pray. God, we do look past our circumstances and our challenge, and we look to you. God, we know you're preparing us for something, and it's going to be amazing. And the Great Commission remains the Great Commission. And in these times, are people more aware of their need, maybe, than in years and years. And so, God, let us not just drive through this stretch of life oblivious to the adventure that your Spirit has for us and those that are in need around us. But God, let us be those who jump in. Let us be those that jump in, not just for the sake of our own adventure, but because we have something to offer others. And most importantly, there are those who need to be saved. So help us see it, God, we pray. Help us recognize it for what it is, we pray. God, help us to leave what we're comfortable with and walk with you to the land you will show us. We look to you and trust you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.